begin here. First of all, it's good to see all of you. Good morning. And as always, if you're our guest, we are glad you're here, and the Lord is glad you're here as well. Two things. One, Traveler's Motel is next week, and so we'll be going out there and hosting worship service and a meal for the residents there. And the second is June is quickly approaching, and our Wednesday night Bible class during the summer, we usually have a rotation of our men who teach on Wednesday nights. They each take a week, a different week. And so our theme, our subject matter this summer for our summer series is going to be 12 Ordinary Men. And we're going to be talking about the 12 apostles during the weeks of June, July, and August on Wednesday nights in our Bible class. So that's something on the horizon. Just wanted to put that before you. And it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I want to preach from Proverbs 31. So if you want to turn in your Bibles there to Proverbs 31. I don't know if you ever noticed this before. Proverbs 31 is daunting, right? Especially if you're a woman, because all the stuff in Proverbs 31, woman. And it's such a high bar, such a high standard. Did you ever notice that this actually came from a woman? Yeah, it's the words of King Lemuel, verse 1 tells us. But where'd he get this? He got it from his mother. She taught it to him. So that's interesting. Let's read Proverbs 31 as we begin the lesson this morning. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the dye staff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Father, as we spend time in your word, And as we focus on this wisdom that a mother taught her son many, many years ago, I pray that you would enlighten our eyes so that we can see what it means for us even today. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Moms usually want what is best for their children. And I have to qualify that with the word usually because, unfortunately, there are some mothers who are kind of like the ostrich that God talks about in the book of Job. In Job 39, verses 16 and 17, God says, "She deals cruelly with her young, as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, yet she has no fear, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding." Unfortunately, there are some mothers like that who, even while the child is in utero, they do not have the child's best interests as a priority. And they will ingest all kinds of substances into their body, which are harmful not only to the mother, but also to the child. But there are, fortunately, mothers who are not like the ostrich. Mothers who do care for their young, and even while in utero, they will do the necessary things for that child. They'll take the vitamins and the medications that they need to take for that child. They'll consume a proper diet, the right foods, and all that so that their child has the best chance of being born healthy. I remember when Kim was pregnant with our children and our three boys. And I saw this in my own wife, that she watched her diet and took her medications and vitamins and all the things that she needed to take because she wanted what was best for our sons, right? That's the thing is most mothers, I think, want what's best for their children. Now, we see here Proverbs 31, a mother who wanted what was best for her son. And again, you know, no doubt when Lemuel was born before he was king, because that's how she addresses him, right? And even if he were king, right? That's a mother for you, Lemuel, all right? I'm not going to call you king. Are you, what? Anyway. Mothers, when the child is born, they will do whatever they need to do for that child. Just give that child all the love that they need and provide them with the wisdom that they need in order to succeed in life. That's what we see here with Lemuel's mother. We don't know her name, and yet she's imparting wisdom to her son. She wants Lemuel to have the best chance at succeeding in life that he can. And so she teaches him certain things. That's what a mother does, right? Wasn't that the T in mother just a few minutes ago that Jim brought out, a teacher? Mother imparts wisdom to her children. Here we see a mother imparting wisdom to her son. Mother imparts wisdom to her children. But what does that look like? What are some of the things that I should teach my children that would be beneficial as a mother, right? What is it that this mother taught her son here in Proverbs 31? We see the wisdom that a mother gave to her son who would grow up to be one of the sages of the ages, King Lemuel. And she addresses four areas. By the way, let me just back up here a second and talk about Lemuel. Who is King Lemuel? Who is this guy? Well, we know he's one of the sages of the ages because he gets some of his wisdom that he learned from his mother. It ends up in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, which is it's a book of wisdom, wisdom literature. Who is he specifically? There are some who say that may be like a pseudonym, a pen name for Solomon, that this is another name for King Solomon. We really don't know, though. We know his name means unto God. That's what Lemuel means, but we really don't know exactly who this king is. But we do know that his mother taught him this oracle. The word for oracle there, yours may say burden, that's good too. This is a word that shows up in the writings of the prophets. Nahum 1 verse 1, Habakkuk 1 verse 1, Malachi 1 verse 1. All of these prophets had an oracle. And so here is essentially a mother with a prophetic oracle. Isn't that interesting? A mother with this prophetic word inspired of God that she seeks to bless her son with this wisdom, with this prophetic oracle. Verse 2, what? What are you doing? What? And the way this reads, it's almost as if King Lemuel's mother is looking at her son and she's like, what can I say to you, son? What wisdom can I impart to you? You ever been there? Mothers, right? What do I say to you? What do I say to this child that God has given me? What wisdom do I pass on here? Perhaps you can relate to that. But she begins in verse 3. And the first area that this mother touches on here is concerning women. This mother imparts wisdom about women. And who better to impart wisdom about women than a woman who understands the feminine perspective? And she teaches here, she says, verse 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Now, I don't think she's speaking generally here like she wanted Lemuel to be celibate his entire life and just stay away from women. She has in mind very specific women, women who seek to destroy a king. And so immediately we see here, she is teaching, look, there are two kinds of women in this world. There are good women and there are bad women. There are the good women, and these are highlighted in the book of Proverbs. If you back up all the way to chapter 1 and verse 8, even Solomon, as he is beginning these Proverbs and he's teaching his son this wisdom, he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And this is the way they wrote poetry. We rhyme. They do parallel stuff a lot. And so the father's instruction and the mother's teaching are on equal footing here. And that's how Solomon reads this. Chapter 6 and verse 20, you get a similar thing there. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Son, your mother's got some good things. She's a good woman. That's what he's saying. She's a good woman and you need to listen to her. But not only her. If you back up to chapter 5 and verse 18, 5 verse 18 of Proverbs, Solomon says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Son, here's another good woman, the wife of your youth. She is someone, listen to her. She's gonna be a blessing to you in life. And also, the woman, wisdom. And that's how wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs, is in a feminine way. Wisdom is sexy. Wisdom is to be desired. And so that's how wisdom is presented here. It's seductive. That's the nature of it. And so chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. You jump across the page to chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, this is wisdom again, the woman wisdom. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. These are all good women to listen to, son. But on the other hand, unfortunately, there are some bad women. Women who want to wreck your life. Women who, if you listen to them and go after them, they will mess you up even spiritually. Like who? Well, there is, in chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, there is the adulteress. The woman who has made a vow in marriage, who has entered into covenant, the covenant of marriage, with another man, her husband, and yet violates those vows and abandons them. 7 verse 10, behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. Verse 21, with much seductive speech she persuades him. That's the simple one, the simpleton, the one who doesn't listen to wisdom. With her smooth talk she compels him. Another bad girl, as it were, is chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the forbidden woman. That's how she's spoken of here. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The forbidden woman is not the wife of your youth. So then the forbidden woman is any other woman besides your wife. That's the forbidden woman. You don't go after her, even though she may try to seduce you. And then finally, the woman folly. Not only is wisdom personified as a woman, but also folly is. And in 9 verses 13 through 18, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Just as the good woman, son, listen to them, there are some bad women that you need to stay away from. Again, they will wreck your walk. They will mess you up spiritually. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Listen, mothers impart wisdom about there are good people, there are bad people. Son, there are good women and there are bad women. You want to find you a good woman. We'll circle back to that later. Daughter, there are good men and there are bad men. Just like there are forbidden women, there are forbidden men. Any man who is not your husband, he's off limits, right? So it can go both ways. It just so happens that the wisdom literature, it's the wise, the sages to the sons, essentially. But it's certainly true on the one hand and on the other. So mothers impart wisdom about women here. We see that as we come back to Proverbs 31, the mother to her son. But then she goes on in verses 4 through 7, and she imparts wisdom about strong drink. There's a lesson here about alcohol. And she says in verses 4 and 5, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. You hear what she's saying? You want to be king one day? You want to lead a successful life? You want to stay away from the strong drink. You want to stay away from the wine and all of that, because power, position, authority, and those strong drinks, they don't mix well. You get drunk and you forget the rights of those who need justice, those who are afflicted. And so you want the successful life, just stay away from that stuff that claims to taste great and be less filling and all that. No, you stay away from that. Otherwise, you know who drinks it up? Verses 6 and 7, you give strong drink to the one who is perishing. Wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Those who are unsuccessful in life, those who are the ones who are drinking it up. In fact, earlier in Proverbs, there's an entire theology of addiction. Back in chapter 23, beginning in verse 29. The sages of the ages here tell us, they say, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? We'll tell you. Verse 30, those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. See, it's not just enough to have the drink in and of itself. We got to have these mixed drinks. You hear what he's saying, right? It's not potent enough. We need something a bit more powerful. 31, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast, right? It's unsteady. You see that with the drunkard, right? The one who's stumbling around. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. There's your theology of addiction. We want our children to succeed, right? We want our children to do well in this life. This mother wanted the best for her son. Son, you're going to want to stay away from those substances. They ruin lives. Contrary to what the advertisements may say, they actually ruin and wreck lives. So many lives have been ruined and wrecked by alcohol and these substances and things like that. Why would we go after that? Why would we introduce our children to those things, right? Why wouldn't we instruct them? You know, it's best to stay away from that stuff. But moderation! Okay, very well. Peace, brother. Peace, sister. I'm going with the wisdom of the sages of the ages here, though, and this is what they say. You can argue with them, I guess. She goes on and she imparts wisdom about the needy, verses 8 and 9. She says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. You have in the Old Testament and in the New Testament teaching that goes right along with this. Where did Lemuel's mother get this after all, right? She is no doubt a woman who fears the Lord. We're going to get there in just a few minutes. She is one who is instructed in the law of God. And in the law, in the Old Testament, Torah, you read, there are several passages which talk about, you know, when you go out and you harvest your fields, you don't harvest the edges. You see, the edges, those are for the widow and the orphan and for the sojourner, the foreigner who is among you. The teaching in the Old Testament then is you need to watch out for the little guy. You need to watch out for those who are in desperate straits, those who are in need, those who are destitute, those who are poor and needy. And by the way, when they weren't looking out for the little guy, that's when judgment came. When they were, the language of the prophets is, you guys are cannibalizing the poor. It's as if you're eating them alive because you're not taking care of them. That's when judgment came on God's people. In the New Testament, this is James, in James 1 and verse 21, pure and faultless religion, pure and undefiled religion, your translation may say, is this: you got to take care of the widow and the orphan, and you keep yourself unstained from the world as well. Take care of the widow and the orphan. Paul, the apostle, is called to Jerusalem. He has a meeting with the apostles, Galatians chapter 2. He writes about this. And he says, you know what? When we got done talking, my gospel is their gospel. Their gospel is my gospel. We're teaching the same thing. They did encourage me in one thing. They said, we want you to be eager to help out the needy, the poor. Paul says, that's the very thing I wanted to do. He goes on later in Galatians 6 and verse 10, and he says, we want to continue to do good for all people, especially for the household of faith. There's this principle, Old Testament and New Testament, that we look out for the little guy, and especially in the New Testament, the message is, you know what, we take care of our own. No one is going hungry among the people of God because I have more than enough, at least. I have, as long as my pantry is full, we'll have plenty to go around, right? And that's the idea. The book of Acts, you see this, the saints in Jerusalem, they're giving stuff hand over fist, as much as they can give. They had all things in common. Again, if you're part of the body of Christ, we take care of our brothers and our sisters. Open your mouth. Do justice. That's how you can say it as well. That's what God desires of you. That's what this mother imparted to her son. It's what mothers should impart to their children as well, that we seek to do justice. And we do look out for the little guy and we take care of our own. The last major section of Proverbs 31, I'm going to classify it this way. This mother is imparting wisdom about finding the right one. And she has in her mind kind of the quintessential, word of the day, the quintessential idea, the ideal of a woman, right? Where did she get it from? It's prophetic, it's an oracle. I don't think she's just kind of looking around going, hey, that's a good one, or hey, this is a good one right here. I think this is, again, wisdom that comes from God. And so there are some aspects here that we can latch on to. And the first is verse 11. You need to find someone that you can trust. Find someone who is trustworthy. Verses 10 and 11. An excellent wife who can find far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. In other words, her husband's full confidence is in her. He knows that she will act wisely. He trusts her to do that. He knows that she will act discreetly, that they are going to pursue the same things and the same goals. Marriage, she's communicating, is a team sport. And it's not you're competing on one team and she's competing on another. You guys are on the same team. This isn't your team against hers. It's couples tennis. You're on the same team. And so you need to find someone that you can trust. You know that you're going to be working toward the same goal in what you're doing. Yeah, find someone who is trustworthy. She goes on, verses 13 through 24. This is a major chunk here in this. By the way, verse 12, she does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. But verses 13 through 24, she's a hard worker. Find someone who's a hard worker. And look at all the stuff she's got going on here, right? I mean, she seeks wool and flax, works with willing hands. Verse 16, she rises while it's yet night, so early riser, and she's providing food. She looks at a field, thinks over it, buys it. Verse 16, dresses herself with strength. Verse 17, verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable, so she's making stuff and then she's selling it. This is the idea. She's working hard there. She opens her hands to the poor. We just talked about that, verses 8 and 9. Reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household because her household is wrapped in scarlet. Literally, it could also be rendered as they've got multiple layers on. All right, that's the idea there. She's going to take care of that. She makes linen garments, verse 24 says, and she sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Look at everything she's doing, right? She's a woman of industry. She's a hard worker. Whether we're talking in the home for her family or outside the home even, she's working, it seems. She is going to work heartily. We could tag this on here as Christians, this side of Calvary, Colossians 3 and verse 23. She works hard as unto the Lord. She's doing this for Jesus' sake, right? That's what it would mean for us, the updated version. Son, daughter, find someone who's a hard worker, who's going to work hard in the home and outside of the home. Find someone who's going to work hard on your marriage. Say amen if you know marriage takes work. That's a good place to say amen, right? Yeah, it is hard work, and you need to find someone who's going to work just as hard as you are, if not harder, on the relationship. Find someone who's a hard worker. Find someone who's wise. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is a concept that these sages, they keep circling back to and spinning out on for a little bit about wisdom. What is wisdom? What does it look like? What does the wise life look like? And so here's a woman, you don't want to marry the woman folly, someone who has folly bound up in their heart. You want to marry someone who has wisdom in their heart, right? And again, it's good for the boys and the girls, the guys and the gals, right? You need to find someone who has first married wisdom, the wisdom of God, and you yourself must take wisdom as well. See chapters 8 and 9 for more on that, by the way, in Proverbs. There's some homework for you, okay? Verses 27 and 28, you need to find someone who's going to help you raise children in a good and godly way. She looks well, verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. In other words, she's going to do right by the household. She's going to do right by her children. So you need to seek someone out who's going to help you raise godly children. Someone who's going to help you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's like I've read that somewhere, right? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 6. And then finally, verse 29, there's high praise from her husband. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, sweetheart, right? Verse 30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears Yahweh, see all caps there? She is to be praised. A woman who fears the one true and only God, that's someone you need to find. Someone who fears, the New Testament update might sound something like, you need to find someone who loves Jesus. You need to find yourself a Christian. Someone with whom you can pray. Someone with whom you can read Scripture. Someone who is going to help you grow and mature spiritually. Someone who's going to help you get to heaven. Someone who's going to help you bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Someone with whom you can show true love. Not just someone that you love, but someone that you can show true love in the sense of they're going to actively pursue to see Christ formed in you, even as you actively pursue to see Christ formed in them. You don't want to marry someone who with whom you cannot pray, someone with whom you cannot read Scripture, someone who thinks the things that you value are actually foolish. You don't want to marry someone who will be a spiritual millstone around your neck. Find someone who fears the Lord, who fears Yahweh. It's not in here, and that's because they lived about 1,000 years before Jesus ever walked the planet, but we should probably add on to this that mothers impart the wisdom of the gospel. In Christ, this is Paul in Colossians 2, about verse 3, in Christ are hidden all of the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, and in what He did when He came to this earth. Mothers, if there is one thing that you impress upon your children, impress upon them Jesus. Listen, God has, the way He's designed the family, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it's fathers who are called not to provoke their children to anger, but to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what that means is, that primary responsibility is ultimately placed squarely upon the men, the fathers. Primary, not sole responsibility. And so mothers, and again, this is the way God has designed it from the beginning, God gave Adam a helper, a helper that was suitable for him, someone who was going to help him carry through, according to her gifts and abilities, help him carry through that responsibility of raising up the children. And so mothers, you also have a vital role, a key role to play when it comes to imparting the wisdom of the gospel to your children. Who Jesus is, what He did for us, why He died on the cross, but also that He rose 3 days later, that He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again one day to judge the living and the dead. Here is the wisdom that a mother imparted to her son many, many years ago, upwards to 3,000 years ago. She told her son the truth about women and about strong drink, about the needy and about finding the right one. She imparted wisdom about that. There's wisdom here, brothers and sisters. And while this sagacity, another word of the day, I guess, while this wisdom is centuries old, mothers would do well to continue on the tradition of King Lemuel's mother, would do well in imparting the wisdom that is found here to their children. That's the exhortation, and that's the lesson. Let's pray about this. Once again, Father, we are impressed with the high and the holy standard of Your Word. We're impressed with the wisdom that You gave to this mother, that she gave to her son, and that now it's been given to us in the book of Proverbs. For all the mothers, Lord, I ask that you bless them especially this morning. It is a high and holy task. And so strengthen them in their work. Empower them to impart wisdom. And may we as your church gather around them and support them and call them to the good and the godly task, which is motherhood. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.